Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Doc. That's good morning. Get me a favor. Can you call my radio show number for me so I can see if I can hear you? I think I'm having a problem. It's 646-915-9000. page 160.
Page 166. Yes. Thank you. Bye-bye. I didn't see you on there. I am here. Yes. Yeah, I heard you, but I didn't see you, so I guess I have to, I'm trying to refresh it and go back on. Can you, like, call back in 10 minutes and see if I can see you, please? Thank you, bye-bye.
I'm the same.
the morning to you. It's a gorgeous morning here in Connecticut, and we are off to a late start this morning due to some technical difficulties. For the first half an hour, I was not able to hear any audio and anything. So I'm so happy to be on. I want to thank those of you who are listening and apologize for the tardiness. For the first portion of the show this morning, we will be speaking about the power of determination. We as entrepreneurs oftentimes face situations where we are standing in limbo and wondering, should we be carrying on this path? Is this what we were meant to do? And we have a lot of unanswered questions. So, I pray that this teaching this morning will help us to be stronger in our choice of determination. The number to call is 646-915-8166. And I do appreciate your calls. I'll get the chat room up and going. And for the last half hour of today's show, we will be joined by Miss Lorna Owens. And Miss Owens is the founder of As the Women Gather. And Lorna is celebrating 10 years of that program. And they will be launching their TV show, As the Women Gathered, next week. So I've invited her on to come and tell you, my listeners, all about it. I am very excited for her. So on Sunday, we will be joined for the Sunday's episode by Dr. E.V. Patrick Harrison. And Dr. Harrison is from Jamaica. He is a medical doctor as well as I think he does some work with alternative medicine. And Dr. Harrison is also a member of Parliament for the People's National Party there in Jamaica. But he is a local person who grew up there in one of the rural areas. So as you all know that on Sundays, we deal with life issues. It could be overcoming adversities. It could be reinventing your life or any other empowering or inspiring stories that one have. The other housekeeping I want to give you, I did send out on my Facebook page that I am offering the month of March to all my Facebook entrepreneurial friends who are female, because March is Women's History Month, and I'm offering to give you time on the radio to speak about your journey of empowerment and inspiration. So take me up on the offer. I've leave the March slots open. I haven't booked anyone yet. But if I don't hear from anyone tomorrow, the 3rd of March, then I will need to begin to book my slot. So there I want to give people, depending on their stories, 15, 20, half an hour on the show. So give me a call, 646-915-8166. Let me know you want to be on the show. and share your story. So we are working with the first portion of the show this morning. We are going to be speaking on the power of determination. But I just want to tell the people that Lorna will be joining us at 11:30 a.m. here to share her story about As the Women Gather. So we look forward to her coming on at 11:30 this morning for the last half an hour. And so we will continue now. Again, the number to call is 646-915-8166. And this information that I am sharing this morning with you is from Chicken Soup for the Soul, Inspirational Stories, Powerful Principles and Practical Techniques to Help You Make Your Dreams Come True. And I don't think I need to tell you, but just in case you are not aware, Living Your Dreams was co-authored by Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen, two of my favorite authors. And I want us to talk about the power of determination this morning. And it's from the 8th chapter of this book. And you all know this book compiles the different stories of different individuals. And the story I'm going to be sharing this morning, I hope it will move you like it did move me when I read them, because it shows that with determination, we can do all things so long as we are focused and we are checking in and see what God has called us to do. Because even for those who are not practicing spirituality, if you know, some people said, I just had it in my gut feeling that this is what I need to do. And that's what it does for you when you are connected to your calling and purpose. So the power of determination, as dealt with in Living Your Dreams by Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen. You must back up your ambition by your whole nature, by unbounded enthusiasm and a determination to win that knows no failure. And this is a quote from O Sweet Maridon. The first story I choose to share with you this morning is a story from a young man by the name of Ryan. And his story is titled Ryan's Well of Life. Feeling the flame forever burning, teaching lessons we must learn to bring us closer to the power of the dream. And that's a quote by David Foster. When my son Ryan was 6 years old and in first grade, his teacher Nancy talked to his class about developing countries and how they could help people, particularly children in other parts of the world. She explained that besides not having toys or enough food, some of them don't even have clean water. For these children sitting in their uncomfortable classroom in Kemptville, Ontario, the idea of children not having any toys or enough food or water had an enormous impact. The principal had distributed a list that showed the cost of buying supplies in developing countries. A penny would buy a pencil, a dollar a hot meal, $2 a blanket, $7 would buy a well. I want to welcome guest 3289 for the first portion of the show. We are off to a tardy start because of some technical difficulties. So we are going to be speaking on the power of determination as written in the book Living Your Dreams, co-authored by Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen. And then Lorna Owens will be joining us at 11:30. So guests, 3289, if you have any contribution that you would want to contribute to the power of determination, please call in 646-915-8166, and I will be pleased to have you share it so the listeners can hear it. In the meantime, I'm sharing a first grader story of determination out of Ontario, Canada. When Ryan heard people died because they didn't have clean water, he was deeply affected. He came home that day and insisted he needed $7 for class the next morning. We thought it was very nice that he wanted to do something important, but we didn't take it seriously. My husband Mark and I, both volunteer worker, but Ryan was only 6 years old and we just brushed it off. The next day, Ryan came home very upset because he hadn't been able to take the $7 to school. People were dying, and he insisted he needed that money. Mark and I discussed it, then explained to Ryan that $70 was a lot of money. If he was really interested in doing something, however, he could earn it. I drew a little thermometer on a sheet of paper and said, "This is how many dollars it takes to get to 70. And if you are prepared to earn it, we will give you extra chores." He happily agreed. So we put an old cookie tin on top of the refrigerator and started giving him chores. Well, Ryan worked and worked and worked. With every $2 he earned, he got to fill in another line on the thermometer, then throw his money into the cookie tin. He never stopped working. Ryan vacuum, wash windows, and much more. He did chores for the neighbors and his grandparents, up brushed
after an ice cream storm, and it all went right into the cookie tin. When we realized he was really serious, we thought, okay, what will we do with the money once he raised it? We had no clue. After 4 months, Ryan was nearly his goal. I called a girlfriend at CUSO, a Canadian International Development Agency, and asked her for suggestions. We can take it here at CUSO, she replied, but let me look around for more appropriate organizations that might specially bill wells. Brenda contacted Water Can in Ottawa and set up a meeting for us. Water Can is a Canadian nonprofit organization providing clean water and sanitation for people in developing countries. In April of 1998, we went for our meeting, and Ryan brought his cookie tin full of money. Nicole, the executive director, and Helen, her assistant, were very gracious, thanked him, and told him how important his donation was. Then they told us it would cost a lot more than $70 to build a well. In fact, it would cost $2,000. Ryan wasn't concerned and replied simply, "That's okay. I'll just do more chores." News about what Ryan was doing got out, and soon we were getting calls from the media. When the Ottawa Citizens dial a story on Ryan's well, did a story on Ryan's well, we began to receive donations at least once a week. People from all over were catching Ryan's dream and were inspired to give. A high school in Cornwall, Ontario, sold bottled water and presented WaterCam with a check for Ryan's well for $228. Central Children's Choir from Ottawa donated $1,000 for a singing well. The Ground Water Association of Eastern Ontario donated $2,700. And for every dollar that Ryan raised, the Canadian International Development Agency, CIDA, matched it 2-for-1. It wasn't long before Ryan had raised more than enough money for his well. Ryan was invited to a board meeting to discuss details of the well. Cesar, the engineer from Uganda, who would design and build the well, was visiting from Africa. Ryan asked him, "How long would it take to build the well? Where would it be built? And would he get a picture?" When Cesar asked Ryan where he would like the well to be built, Ryan decided that it would be best near a school. Ryan's well was built beside Angalo Primary School in Uganda, Africa, and was dedicated in April of 1999. But Ryan's effort had only begun. Ryan's entire school embraced his dream. First, a fundraising project raising $1,400. Then the school organized a pen pal letter writing campaign between Ryan's class and the students at Angola Primary School. CTV and several big newspapers did lead stories on the project and interviewed Ryan. I was concerned about all the attention going to his head. When I asked Ryan's teacher, Lynn, about it, she said, "I don't think so. Ryan never talks about it unless someone asks." She then told me the class had been raising funds throughout the year and a water can had been placed on her desk. One day she walked into her classroom and found Ryan was at the water can, picking his picture off the side. "I already have enough money for the well," he explained. This well will be for my class." One day, Ryan said, "I'm going to keep working until everyone in Africa has clean water." I thought, oh boy, I'd heard about encouraging your children to be confident and dream big. I didn't want to say like I almost had when he had asked for the $70 that he couldn't make a difference. The truth was, he already had. One night, Ryan shared with us that one day he would love to actually see his well. I replied, "Ryan, you will see your well. You might be 12 by the time we save enough money to visit Africa. But I promised you we'll see your well." One day, when Ryan was over visiting our neighbors, he announced, "When I'm 12, I'm going to go to Uganda to see my well." He wrote his pen pal, Jimmy Akana, in Uganda saying, "When I'm 12, I'm going to see you." This news spread like wildfire through the school in Uganda, and all the children wrote back to their pen pals in Ryan's class asking, "Are you coming with Ryan? Did you know Ryan is coming when he's 12 years old?" When Jimmy wrote back, he said, "I always drink from your well, and I thank you for the well. We will be so happy to see you in Uganda when you are 12 years old." At New Year's, our neighbors, the painters, presented Ryan with a very special gift, enough air miles to fly 3 people halfway to Uganda to visit Jimmy and his well. The Ottawa citizens then posted a request for more air miles. As a result of those donations and some help from water can, my husband and I were able to join Ryan. Together, we would all see the amazing well that has allowed Ryan's friend in Uganda to have fresh, clean water every day. On July 27, 2000, we arrived by truck to Angola, Uganda. As we got close, a small group of children saw us and began calling, "Ryan, Ryan." Ryan was astonished that they knew his name. Everybody for 100 kilometers knows your name, Ryan. Our companion, Jiza Sabru, announced. As we round a bend, we were stunned to see a crowd of about 5,000 children from nearby schools lining the roadside waiting for us. As our truck approached, they excitedly began clapping rhythmically in welcome. Ryan managed to wave a shy hello. A welcoming committee then led us all to Angola Primary School. Ryan's pen pal, Jimmy, was waiting for him. And after they said hello, Jimmy took Ryan's hand and led him to the well for the ribbon cutting ceremony. As we approached Ryan's well, we were overcome with joy. It was adorned with flowers, and on the concrete was inscribed, "Ryan's Well, formed by Ryan H. for the Commonwealth of Angola." Ooh, it touched my heart. Right now, I'm just tearing up to see what a six-year-old child has done. A village elder spoke words of appreciation. "Look around at our children. You can see they're healthy. This is because of Ryan and our children in Canada. For us, water is life. Ryan has also raised money for drilling equipment so that all districts can experience having clean water. Life-giving water. To date, Ryan has raised over $100,000, which then matched with CIDA funding totaled over $300,000. Ryan is now 11 years old and still going strong. There is Ryan's Well Foundation. His dream has changed the lives of so many people, most of whom we will never meet. That special day in Uganda was one of the happiest days of my life, and it will live in my heart forever. Ryan ended that special day the same as usual, with his nightly prayer. I wish for everyone in Africa to have clean water. Ryan has shown me what the power of dreams can do. And this was shared by Ryan's mom, Susan Harold Jack. as told by Darlene Montgomery. And I ask the question that, you know, Ryan, a 6 years old boy, a 6 years old boy, see where he can make a difference. He was focused. He was determined. Nothing was going to get into his way of providing fresh, clean, healthy water for these children in Uganda. I pose the question to you, my listeners. A six-year-old boy can do that to impact the lives of people in Africa. What are we doing? Are we sitting around in our glass houses, in our igloo, or we are isolating ourselves from the neighbors, from the people down the street? We drive out on our street and we have our windows worn up. We don't even say hello to the neighbors. A 6 years old boy. This is food for thought. This is food for thought that we need to ponder on for the rest of our lives. I tell you, as I read through this young man's story, I had to contain myself and to hold the tears back, because I'm thinking, what's my excuse? Why am I not doing more? And I pose the question to you and the people in the chat room. If you would like to call in and let's have a discussion before I move on to the next story here. The number to call, or even if you're listening and you want to call in, the number to call is 646-915-8166. And I'm telling you, if a 6 years old child can make a difference for all those children in Africa, what excuse do we have? On our greatest day of luck, we do have more than a lot of other people in other parts of the world. And we are entrepreneurs. You know, we are blessed beyond measures. We might not be experiencing wealth, but at least we have something. This is our year as entrepreneurs. And I think that each and every one of us need to step out of our igloos and just connect our businesses and our focus to making a difference in somebody else's lives. If Ryan can do that, so can you and I. We don't have to build wells. We do not have to get drilling equipment, because there are a lot of other things that needs to be done. I hope that this story has ruffled your feathers, because I'm telling you, it has ruffled mine. And I want to say thanks to Ryan for showing us that with determination and focus and commitment, that we can make a difference in the lives of so many people. Ryan, I thank you. And I will need to find a way to invite you to be on this show, so you can share with the rest of the world how your project is going and help us to build the power of our determination. Thank you so much, young man, for teaching us a lesson. Again, Lorna Owens will be joining us at 11:30. So, I will continue sharing other stories that came under the power of determination. And the next story I will share with you is titled Unstoppable. My mother, Beulah Hill Wetchen, was born in rural Alabama in 1908, a time when most women could not even think about having a career. As a small child, she would rise during the early hours of dawn and work long hours in the cotton fields, enduring the unrelenting Alabama heat. She told me that it was at these times that she vowed to herself to become educated and pursue a career in nursing. In that area, it would take tremendous determination and ambition to fill her dream and goal of becoming a registered nurse. The eldest of 11 children, Beulah was the one that her parents relied upon to help with the rest of the family. Many days she would stay home from school to help watch after the younger children while her mother and father worked in the fields. This made the decision to leave home and attend nurses' training in Tuscaloosa, were more difficult because she knew her mother and father would desperately miss her assistance. In the end, however, it was this very decision which came to be more valuable to the family than any of them could ever foresee. After my mother finished her nursing education, she stayed in Tuscaloosa, where doing private duty nursing and living in her own apartment. She was especially skilled in bedside nursing care, which at time was at the heart of nursing. One evening, she received a frantic call from her father, Howell. Her 17-year-old brother was gravely ill. He was having abdominal pains for 2 days and was coming progressively worse with fever and chills. The doctor, who had just left the house after administering an injection to Howell for pain, had told my grandparents, "If the boy lives until morning, he will probably be all right." Beulah's mother was not about to accept this extreme chilling statement and do nothing until morning. She told her husband, "We have to reach Beulah. She will know what to do." Having no car and no phone, Beulah's father walked to the telephone office in the nearby town in Mountville to take the call. Then when he reached, Beulah told him that she would take the night train bound for New Orleans. she immediately left for Tuscaloosa Train Depot. She knew that the train was not scheduled to stop in Mountville, but she decided she could face that obstacle when she arrived at the depot. Sure enough, when she arrived there and told the ticket agent where she needed to go, she told the train would not be stopping at Mountville, undeterred by my mother boarded the train and told the conductor, "You will stop this train in Mountville. My brother is very ill and may be dying. I must get him to him right away. And I will be getting off this train where I need to." That is determination. Apparently, the look in her eyes and the tone in her voice had necessary impact on the conductor, because the train stopped briefly, ever so briefly, in Montclair. My mother told me that she hadn't even completely taken her foot from the bottom step of that train when it started to move. When my mother arrived at the house, her brother Howell was laying on a low cot in the living room. She knelt down by his side and smell a very distinct odor on his breath. And noting, his pale, clammy skin, was certain he had suffered a ruptured appendix. She told her parents that they need to get him to hospital right away. The same neighbor who had driven my grandfather to the train depot took them to the hospital in Tuscaloosa. Upon arrival at the hospital, my mother told the night nurse supervisor that she thought Howell's problem was, and surgeon was called. Within 2 hours after the phone call to my mother, Howell was in surgery. Beulah was allowed to stay in the operating room during the surgery. Opening the abdomen, the surgeon turned to her and said, "Miss Hill, your diagnosis is right. Your brother's appendix has ruptured. It's like muddy water in here, but we will do what we can to save him." 1 week after the surgery, my uncle was recovering on his way to good health again. Last year, my mother celebrated her 90th birthday, and in her true style, the party was everything she wanted it to be, with music and dancing of friends and family around her. As I watch her mingle with the guests, I picture how she must have looked on that night long ago when she rose to her full 5'2" height, looked at the train conductor in his eyes and said, "You will stop this train because I am getting off." My uncle Howell lived to serve his country during 2 world wars, marry, raise a fine family, and became a loved and respected member of his community. All thanks to my mother, a woman with sufficient spirit to set out on a difficult path ample courage to follow her dreams and enough determination to even stop the train. And this was shared by Dixie Jane Sokolik. So as we listen to Ryan's story and to Beulah's story, we all have a story. And it, you know, our story can be subtle, but we need to tell our stories because this encourages other people to tell their stories. So what's your story? We had Ryan's story of the well. We had Beulah's story of wanting to become a nurse. Now, what's our story of determination? I still have some time before Lorna calls in, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to share another story at this time. And this story is titled, The Impossible Just Takes a Little Longer. The impossible just takes a little longer. I cannot discover that anyone knows enough to say definitely what is and what is not possible. And that's a quote from Henry Ford. At the age of 20, I was happier than I had ever been before in my life. I was active physically. I was a competitive water skier and snow skier and played golf, tennis, racquetball, basketball, and volleyball. I even bowled on the league. I ran nearly every day. I had just started a new tennis court construction company, so my financial future looked exciting and bright. I was engaged to the most beautiful woman in the world. Then the tragedy occurred, or at least some called it that. I woke up with a sudden jolt to the sound of a twisting metal and breaking glass. As quickly as it all started, it was quiet again. Opening my eyes, my whole world was darkness. As my sense began to return, I could feel the warmth of blood covering my face. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Is this Lorna?
Hi. Hi, Lorna. I just wanted to call in and tell you how much I enjoy your show. This is Jay Blair Brown, and I've listened to you before.
Oh, hi, Jay.
Hi, how are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for calling in.
Oh, you know, thank you for having such a wonderful and uplifting show that allows people to call in and voice their opinions and get motivated and inspired.
Thank you.
We're all here, and you do such a great job at it. And I just wanted to say, you were talking earlier about we all have something. We all have a gift, and we all have to share that gift and not let anyone stop us.
Yes, yes.
The person that we could be. And
yes.
I've done and it's a constant struggle.
Oh, yes.
You have to continue to work on it. But I believe that I've done that and not allow people to tell me that I couldn't do something simply because I didn't go to college.
Yes.
So I just, I encourage people. You know, what did the masses do before college was even popular?
That's right.
They were the ones that built this country.
Exactly.
Look
at our ancestors. They had nothing, yet they created such a powerful legacy for you and I.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, I encourage you to you know, keep telling those stories and encourage people to tell their stories, because, you know, that's why I'm a writer. I tell people on my show, everyone has a story and everyone deserves for that story to be told.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you're a storyteller and you do it orally, or you're a writer, or you want to be a writer, or you want to hire a writer, everyone should be able to tell their story.
That's right. That's right. You know,
telling it encourages more.
Jay Blair Brown, I am not sure whether you're my friend on Facebook, but in case you're not, I encourage you to connect. But let me just tell you the offer that I've made to my female Facebook friends for the month of March.
Okay.
I have offered, March being Women's History Month, I am looking to feature female entrepreneurs to tell their story. So if that's something you're interested in, taking part in, go to my Facebook page and let me know, or please send me a message on the radio show, because I'm looking to get as many of the women out there to just come in and say what it means for them to be walking their path.
Oh, I can tell you that now. I really would enjoy that.
Great. So I'm going to go ahead and give you my number. You're in the chat room. I'm going to type my number. Please call me after the show, and I will book you and let
okay.
you know when. So I'm
okay.
typing. I'm typing my number in the chat room, and that's the number you can call me on at the end of the show. So
okay.
thank you, my sister, for your continual support. And I always ask people to stop on the page and write a little something about what your thoughts are about the show.
Okay, I will do that. Thank you.
Okay, and I hope you'll stay around to listen to Lorna. She, too, has an amazing story. I don't know if you know her.
No, I don't, and that's why I did want to check in with you, because I was looking over who she was, reading her description.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
a remarkable
yes.
woman. So
yes.
I'll be hanging on the line.
Okay, thank you, and I look forward to speaking at the end of the show.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye.
Good morning, caller. Your first three digits are 305. You're on the air. Please
hi. Hi, it's Lorna Owens.
Hello, Lorna. Congratulations, you fabulous woman.
Oh, my goodness. You're kind. You're too kind.
Lady friend, I love the new do. Girl! I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And congratulations. 10 years.
Thank you, my love. Thank you. Yes. Thank you, my love. Yes.
10 years. 10 years. My God, I am just so excited about everything that you're doing. And when you mentioned that you're launching your show next week, I said, oh, my God, I would love to give her opportunity to come and talk about it. I don't want
yeah.
to quit after the launch.
yeah.
And I was so happy when you made it happen. Well, again, welcome again to the A New Day show. It's not your first time, but
no.
congratulations on the show. I looked through the clips last night, and woman, you are rocking and rolling.
It's going to be powerful. It's actually going to be very, very powerful. And it so fits what you're talking about, because you said 10 years ago, people might not realize, 10 years ago I had lost everything, even though I was an attorney, a midwife, a registered nurse. I was looking under my bed for a quarter. Mm-hmm. And today we have built an amazing brand, an amazing product that's helping women around the world called And the Women Gather. And on March 8th, as you know, Daphne, it's International Women's Day. It's mm-hmm. the 100th year of International Women's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to be launching And the Women Gather television show. Yay!
Yeah!
Yeah, so we have a television show Monday to Friday, 4 p.m. to 7
yes.
p.m., and it's
yes.
on Comcast 88. Mm-hmm. And also people can watch it online. Yes.
Wonderful. I'm so excited, and I'm I'm glad that you're here talking about it, because what I'm doing for this March is to extend time slot to female entrepreneurs to come onto my show and let their voices be heard, because men do it for each other, and I think as women we need to embrace and support each other in whatever little way that we can. So I'm happy that I have you here this morning. And I know this this lady that's on, J. Blair Brown, she's a regular listener to my show.
Yes,
and she's
hello, Jay.
Here and she didn't know who you are, but I'm glad she's present now and just to hear about the amazing things that you do.
Yes,
so
yes, yes.
Let's talk about 10 years ago when you were looking for a quarter and everything, and all of a sudden, Spirit said, and the woman gathered.
That's true. And I thought that it was a title of a book. So I wrote in my journal, and journaling in the direction, in the path to greatness, I recommend people journal. Because I wrote in my journal, title of a book, and the women gather. About 3 years later, a voice said to me, it's not a book. It's an evening of empowerment by women for women. And that is exactly what we've had for the last 10 years. We have a meeting at the Ritz-Carlton in Coconut Grove. It's called the Women's Institute. And we've been meeting for 10 years the second Saturday of every month. And people just know to come. And then out of that outgrowth is now the television show and also our foundation. So, you know, great things are ahead. Even if you are really in the valley right now, just don't give up. Don't give in, because, you know, your breakthrough will absolutely come.
And I haven't been to one yet, and I'm excited now to know it's every month, because when I'm down there in Florida, you know.
Yes.
You know I got to stop and sample that.
Come and be my guest. Come and
I'm
be my
telling
guest.
You,
it's amazing.
I can't wait. I have to tell J. Blair Brown that Lorna and I have not physically met. The first time I encounter Lorna, I don't remember how I found you online. And I don't know if you recall. I called you on your cell phone. You were at the airport.
Going someplace overseas. Yes.
And I know, you know, God has a sense of humor because he connects his people together. And we are so spiritually connected. It is as if I know you.
It is as if
I have met you. Oh, by the way, how is your mother doing?
She transitioned, my love. She transitioned.
Okay.
So she's no longer with us. But thank you so much for asking. Thank you so much for asking.
I remember the last time we spoke, you were heading off to Jamaica. Well, she's in a better place.
She's watching over her baby girl.
She's watching over her baby girl.
Yes. Thank you for asking. Yes.
So the television show is on Mondays. What time?
It's going to be on Monday at 4 p.m. And the great thing, it's a Monday to Friday show. It's just like Oprah. It's
all
4 p.m. And it's, if you're in the Florida area, you can watch it on Comcast 88. If not, you can watch it online by going to And the Women Gather and click on television. And you can watch it live on the air. And the show is amazing packed. In our fourth show, we had the fortune of interviewing Susan Taylor. And
my
we had
God.
A good sit down with Susan Taylor, and it's wonderful. But we have we have amazing chefs, we have amazing female guests, female entrepreneurs, women with amazing story. We always have live music, and it just rocks.
Oh man, I'm hungry. I need to go to Artenique.
Oh, Artenique is amazing. The food is just spectacular. And we see Cindy Hudson from time to time on the television as a celebrity chef. And she was so gracious to, we were in the kitchen with her, and she cooked, and we had a wonderful meal. And there is a section in my show called The Chef's Table. And that is once a month, my going into the kitchen with celebrity chefs and mm-hmm. them cooking up just an amazing meal and then sitting down with me and telling me about themselves. So this is a chance
Wonderful.
They're going to get to sit down. So it's fabulous. Yes. It's absolutely fabulous.
I was like a kid in a candy store last night. You should hear me, Lana, screaming and just looking at the different clips and going through it. And I said, yes, yes. yes. Because you know something? For example, this morning I was telling a friend of mine, and I'm going to just say it here on the air. I had a very important meeting scheduled yesterday.
Right.
And I confirmed the appointment 2 hours, like I always do with this person before I turn up.
Right.
And I turned up there, and the person was not there for the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And Lana, I was so overwhelmed. And I had to pull over on the parkway, and I cried. And
yeah.
I said, God, I want you to show me the lesson here. What are you telling me?
Mm-hmm.
And then I came back. I connected with you later on, and I see what you are doing.
Right.
And I had not booked any guests because I had made the offer to women for March to come on.
Yes.
And I look and I said, all right, God, what do you want me to talk about this morning on the show?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, determination.
Oh.
Because I am not going to be derailed by that appointment that did not come through yesterday.
No.
When I look on what you journal and what God has turned it into in 10 years, I got to stick to my determination to follow through.
No matter what. You've got to stick to it no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Because your time is not God's time.
That's
and
right.
And sometimes we're laboring and we're putting it out and we're working so hard at our stuff. And we don't realize the lessons we're learning because all
That's
the
right.
skills that I have learned in being interviewed on television or doing my own interviewing on radio, this is what I now bring to my own show.
Exactly.
And had
exactly.
I gotten it 3 years ago, I wouldn't be ready.
You would not be ready. And that's what I tell people. There are no mistakes. There are lessons learned.
Lessons learned.
Only mistake is when you don't learn anything out of what you're doing. And this is why I am such an advocate for journaling.
Yes.
Because when we get these messages, and even when we don't understand them, so long as we document them,
Write it down. We
will get clarifications later on. Because had you not wrote that down, Lorna, you would not know it was a show.
I would have forgotten.
Yeah,
you would have forgotten.
Oh, I didn't write this book. I didn't write this book, and it was not a book. And obedience is such a marvelous thing.
It is, and you know, the other thing we need to tell people is that you need to prepare for an opportunity. And it sounds very cheesy, but the truth of the matter is this. I have been so preparing for this show for so long. And even when I do my monthly workshops, a lot of the topics that I've covered in my monthly workshops or when I had my blog talk show, it's topics that I can now pull on for my
That's
show.
Right. That's right, because it was molding you.
Because
we are all pottery, you know. And you know the first piece of pottery you work on, you have it and your name is on it and everything. But as you keep doing, you become creative.
Mm-hmm.
And now you are ready. You are in your prime. I want to welcome guest 4000. And if you have any questions, please call in. I'm in conversation with Miss Lorna Owens. She's the founder and creator of the As the Women Gather. And she's getting ready to launch As the Women Gather television show on Monday. And she's right here in dialogue with us. So call her, you know, tell her congratulations or something. But just say something. Just call. Woo! I am just so excited. I'm telling you, Lorna, I am very, very, very excited about what you're doing, especially for women all over the world.
Right.
And I love the logo. Tell me about the logo.
Well, basically what it is, it says that we're all interconnected. And you know the power of circles.
Yes.
And the way it is, we're all interconnected in the circle. And in one section, that's you in the middle. But there is a section where the circle seems almost broken. Mm-hmm. But it's really not broken. It's for women women behind bars, one of my favorite people in the world, I work with them, are women in areas of conflict area.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I am going to the Congo in March because mm-hmm. I'm working with the women in the Congo. I'm getting surgical repair for the women who are victims of rape because, you know, the mm-hmm. Congo, I got to say it, and we need each other's help. The Congo mm-hmm. is the rape capital of the world. They've taken rape to a different level, and the world stands by and watch. Since the conflict in the Congo, 5 million people have been killed. It's the deadliest conflict since World War II. And what they do is that they go in and they rape the women. And rape is never a good thing, but they do it so brutally. They use knives or guns or whatever they can.
Jesus.
And they insert it in the women. And they end up rupturing the inside. So these women now develop fistulas.
Jesus.
And they're leaking feces and urine everywhere. And so what we are doing is that we are going in and we're going to repair surgery for them. It's like $450 per person. Mm-hmm. And we repair it, and then we're taking them to sustainability. So that is, and the Women Gather has come full circle. Not only am I going to use the power of my television show to tell the story of women everywhere and also encourage us to come together, because that's what it is, but I'm also putting out a cry for help for the women in the Congo and say that even a dollar goes a long way, because we have to save these women's lives, and we can do it.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, you know, Lorna, you have a platform here. Whatever I can do to add value to your vision and mission, my sister, count me in.
Thank you.
I am here to serve and to add value. I want to welcome guest 4018. You're listening to the eloquent and talented Miss Lorna Point. And she is the founder of As the Women Gather, and they are located in Florida. But as you hear, it's a global organization, and they are embarking on a marvelous, marvelous, marvelous opportunity to transform the lives of the women in the Congo and to help them to reconnect to the queens that the Lord had given them life to be. And yep. I'll be praying for that project and to ask the Lord that he provide all the resource that is needed and all the manpower that is needed for us to help to rebuild our women there in the Congo.
Mm-hmm.
I have a call on, so let me just take this call.
Sure.
Caller, good morning. You're on the air. Your last four digits are 7845. State your name, please, and where you're calling from.
Hello again. This is...
Oh, hello, J. Blair Brown. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm so, so moved by Ms. Owen's story. By the way, I'm calling from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jay.
I'm just so inspired by your story, Lorna, and I'm just going to put this out there. I am a freelance writer and a PR and marketing consultant, and I as well have my own Blog Talk radio show. But it's
okay.
I'm not calling to self promote, so I'm sorry if it seems that way. I'm calling to offer any kind of services that I can do to help you in your mission to help these women in the Congo.
Okay, listen, that's what we need, an army. We need, and mm-hmm. each according to their ability, because that's how we change the world. Because as I woke up this year, I realized something very clear, is that we need women in the area of peace and conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole issue of security, because the problem with the Congo, people are like, what is the Congo? The Congo used to be Zaire. Remember, we talk about rumble in the jungle, That's the Congo. Now, the Congo shares a common border with Rwanda. What happened was when the conflict in Rwanda ended, a lot of the warring factions just went across the border, and they just put up shop, and they start doing the same thing. So what they do, they go into the homes, they rape the women, they rape them in front of their husbands and their children. If you are raped in front of your husband, the likelihood is that he will leave you or he'll put you out. Once these women become incontinent of urine and feces, it is what it is, they are put out. So now they're in the streets, wandering the streets. Plus, you get all these infections, and a lot of them die. And there's one major hospital where Dr. Mulcahy is, and a lot of people, it's been on Oprah, Anderson Cooper has done a whole thing on it. So people walk for miles and miles, days and days to get to that hospital, and sometimes they don't make it. So what we're doing is that we're opening a new, not a new hospital, but we're building up a hospital in the area called North Kivu.
Mm-hmm.
And, for example, last week we sent an air conditioning unit to them. It was an air conditioning. We sent a generator because here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
have no generation, and the power goes off very frequently. So they could be in the operating room, and boop, there goes the power. You need a generator for the blood bank, for oxygen and all like that. So we sent that to them. And in September, we're going to literally work with the women. But there's a lot of things people can give. They can give us a dollar or whatever. But what they're fighting over right now are minerals.
Mm-hmm.
And President Obama has passed the Conflict-Free Mineral Act. And what it is, we need to ask all our cell phone providers or our computer providers where they're getting the minerals from that they used as conductivity in these things. Because now that is why they're raping the women, to get the minerals that we use in cell phone and in our computers, and we use it for conductivity.
My
so
God.
All of us can say to all the major companies, make sure you're buying conflict-free
minerals.
Because all of us have something that came from the Congo for which women are dying and for which they're being raped.
My God. My God. You know something? I listened to what your plea is and the statement you just made. And I'm saying, here the Lord wanted me to speak on determination this morning. And I'm thinking, a six-year-old boy can build well in Uganda for children and other citizens to have clean water.
Mm-hmm.
We as female entrepreneurs, we can stop this mess in Uganda, if we want to, in the Congo, if we want to.
Mm-hmm.
It is up to us. If a six-year-old boy can do it, what's our excuse?
It is absolutely, absolutely. I think knowledge is power, and the truth of the matter is, a lot of people do not realize that so much rape is going on in the Congo, and when we say rape, we don't mean like a couple people get raped. I mean women get thousands of women get raped. You could be we've had rape from a 3-year-old child
to
an 80-year-old grandmother. It is not pretty. It is heart-rending. There's a movie made called The Greatest Silence because it is happening, and we truth of the matter is that we don't know. And as women, this is Women's History Month. This is our month. $1 can make a difference. One letter to your congressperson can make a difference. And all of us can. It is so powerful. When I send $1,000 to the Congo, right now 100% of what you donate to us goes to the Congo.
Go Congo.
And when I send $1,000, I can't sleep. Because I'm like, is it there yet?
That's right, because you know all that thousand is going to do. And you know $1,000 is what people blow here on weaves and fingernail and everything else. So, I mean, let's use it to heal these people. And, you know, as I say, Lorna, count me in. I've heard J. Blair Brown say, count her in. Whatever we got to do
to make a difference there in the Congo. Because, listen, you and I, we are from Jamaica, too.
Right.
And we know we got our issues there, but we are not suffering that way.
We're not being raped. I mean, some of these mm-mm. women, and the crazy thing is that they raped, they get pregnant, and they have the baby. And one girl called her child blessed. And I'm like, what? How do you do that?
God.
And she said the reason is they could have killed me because they kept me captured for months, and then I escaped.
My God.
You know,
my God.
You've never, it's beyond explaining.
And she saw a blessing in there because she still had her life. That means there's
still had her life.
There's hope for her.
Let me tell you, when I send 150, that's school for a young girl for a year. When we send 250, it will take care of her for months.
Wow.
You know,
and
we can become overwhelmed with the problem, or we can do all one difference. We can one little thing to make a difference.
Action. We need to take action. Action is what is happening. Yes.
Yeah, it's a call to action. It's a call. So I'm calling all my sisters around the world, wherever you're hearing this, and whenever if you're hearing the archive version, much is needed from all of us.
Yes.
And some of us have radio shows that we can use to showcase it. I have my television show that I am going to use to blow up some of the conditions
mm-hmm.
around the world,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I used to say, and there's power in what we say. There's power in words. I used to jokingly say, oh, when Oprah quits, I'm going to get my show. Don't you know that that's exactly what happened? And I didn't go after the show. They called me and said, you want a show? And I'm like, what did you say?
and Lorna, think about it. Think about how long you've been holding yourself off because you had professed that you wanted when she quit.
Yeah.
Can you imagine you would have probably had it 12 years ago?
Yeah.
If you just say, I'm going to have my own show.
So now, if I had
just
spoken it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just spoken it because we have the power. J. Blair Brown, do you want to say anything else? We winding down, my sister. We just cut you off like that.
No, that's okay. I was listening. Just, you know, again, yeah, where I can help out, and it's really a necessary mission that you're on. And, you know, I tried to just be very focused and less emotional because that just takes it to another level, and
mm-hmm.
and when I'm less emotional, I can focus more. So believe me, I hear everything you're saying, and I've shed a couple of tears during what you were saying. But just getting back to the business aspect of it, I think that's what we need to focus on, the
mm-hmm.
business aspect of saving people, because unfortunately,
that's all
people know. It's
that's
business.
Right. And I go back again. Thank you so much, J. Blair Brown. I go
thank
back
you.
Again to say that men do that so well. Women, mm-hmm. we are called to action. We are called to action. And I want to thank you, J. Blair Brown, for calling. And remember, call me at the end of the show.
So we can
set up here. So I just want to continue here with Lorna. We have a few minutes remaining here in the segment, and I just pray for your continued blessing.
Thank you, my love. Thank you.
To just remain to create that legacy.
Right.
Because
right.
this is something that is needed, and there is enough for all of us to get involved in, so long as we are not selfish.
Right.
There is so much.
Right. And just think, can I tell people how to reach me?
Of course. Go ahead. That's what I was going to tell you
sure.
to do now.
You know, to continue this dialogue or whatever you want to do, it's go to andthewomengather.com, which is andthewomengather.com, or just Google Lorna Owens, my phone number, which I'd love to speak with your listeners, 305-305-860-8059, 305
860-8059. I just like to let people know before we rush off. So they
we're not going to rush off because you have 2.5 minutes to just give a closing thoughts. We don't do rush offs here, honey.
I hear you.
Yeah. So just go ahead. Give your closing thoughts for this conversation. I am so happy that we were able to get this in, and I look forward in supporting in all your endeavors. So please just give us your closing thoughts or statement for 2.5 minutes. Please.
Yeah, I want to say that whatever you want to do, whatever your visions are, whatever your dreams are, determination is really the key. It's the glue that keeps it until it becomes reality. And the point of the matter is that if you never, ever quit, you will get there. But most importantly, whatever we do is to do it in service of others. Because that is a beauty. That is a beauty. And if you want, if there's a fertilizer, or if you want to really move your life or your career to the next level, don't focus on me. Focus on what you can do for others. And in doing for others, you will get more than your share.
That's right.
I want to make sure that women understand that entrepreneurship is real and live and very, very important for us as women. So take care of your business. Know where your money is. Know how you market. Know how you're going to brand yourself. Because all of that are just not things we hear about. It's things we must do, particularly in this kind of economic climate we're in.
Well, I am just so thankful and excited about the new journey you are on, and I want to thank you for coming on here and to pre-launch and to let women know how they can get in touch and be part of the journey that you're on. As I say, count me in. I'm here to add value to whatever you're doing. And I just want to tell you to stay blessed, my sister, and I look forward to us working together in the future.
Absolutely. You be blessed, and thank you so much for having me. All your listeners around the world, they can be a part of the show by Skyping in. We're using some amazing technologies, so it's all going to be good.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I look forward to having you back when you get back from the Congo so you can share with us. Okay, thank you. You're welcome. That was Lorna Owens, and she is the founder of As the Women Gather, and they're getting ready to launch their new TV show on Monday. I want to remind you that on Sunday, my guest will be Dr. E.V. Patrick Harris out of Jamaica. He's a medical doctor. He's also involved in alternative medicine, and he is a member of parliament. And again, I want to encourage you women, my Facebook friends, call me up. I want to give you an opportunity to showcase you in the month of March, because you are all created with greatness. And I want to help you just put you out there and let people hear about the journey you are on. So remember, do not let anyone derail you from your destiny. Stay blessed, and I see you on Sunday.
Look in your heart. grab it in your spirit and say this. Thank you for showing me, and directing me, hallelujah, to my destiny.
My destiny.
I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord, thank you for showing me, hallelujah, and directing me. Speak to it. My destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord.
Lord, I
thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny.
My destiny.
I know what I'm here for.
I know my destiny.
Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with the slave. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with the slave. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. You feel it in your spirit. See the breaking of day. It's destiny.